Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
So last week, we were led to begin this mini sermon series. Where we explore what God says about our minds. And we took our text from Isaiah 26 last week, and we were, through that text, we're reminded to keep an awareness of the strongholds of our minds, of the steadfastness of our trust, and the sovereignty of our God, in the way that we see that our minds matter to God. Today's theme, as I talked about earlier on, is renewal of the mind. Next week, we're going to do one more entitled, Who Do You Think You Are? And just as I said last week, I'm absolutely convinced that these messages are going to be a blessing to somebody. Maybe that somebody is you. Maybe that somebody is somebody in your family or someone else that you know. Maybe. But I want to ask you, please make sure that these messages are heard. And when they are heard, make sure that they're heard not just by you, but heard by the person that you know God wants to, or you believe God wants to speak to. Many of us, I know, have memorized Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I want to recommend, if you haven't committed them to memory, if you haven't memorized it, I think you should. I think it's worth doing. They're excellent verses to help us live a godly life. And I know that as we go through today, these verses will speak to us again. Verse 1, when you look at it, Paul opens where he's imploring, he's desperately appealing, he's seeking to persuade us to live a life of sacrifice and holiness. In verse 1 of Romans 12, 1 and 2, he charges us to live by God's standards, not by personal standards, not by societal standards, not by popular or political or professional standards, but by God's standards. And if you look at the verse, which we have on screen, it says, you'll see that this is what he is saying. He's telling us that when we live by God's standards, this is our true and proper worship. Living by God's standards is true worship. So just looking at the verse, we can see it's not about our singing. It's not about our clapping. It's not about dancing. It's not the music we're playing or even how we're praying or what we're praying. It's not even about what we believe. True worship is directly linked to how we are living our lives. True worship is about lifestyle. I want to remind us of what the text says, but this time I'm going to read it in two other translations. This is the first one. It says, this is the message, and the message says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, your walking around, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Whew. Look at that. I'm going to look at it again in a different translation because we often talk about the message, nice and modern and contemporary. But at this time, I want to read it from the Amplified. No, actually, I just realized that's verse 1. Verse 2 says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Wow. The Amplified, as I was saying, says it this way, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart, as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Wow, isn't that lovely? So here we are. We see from these readings, Paul is calling, what Paul is calling for in verse 1, he extends it into verse 2. You know, many of you know, I've said this a few times, but you know, many of you, I think, will know that although I have to deliberately make time for it, I actually like watching TV. And I think on average, I watch about 1 hour's TV every single day. Of course, I don't just sit in front of the box and mindlessly watch anything that shows up. No. You know, we've got hundreds of channels at our disposal. And so I choose, and I'm very deliberate and very intentional about what I choose to watch. And there are a number of TV shows. I'm sure whether you watch TV regularly or not, you will know. There are a number of TV shows which many of us have probably seen where somebody goes for a makeover, or where there's a makeover show. And there's so many of these. There are different versions, different iterations of these shows. But they all work effectively using the same format. Someone or something is presented to us, and then the experts have a go, and then it's revealed very, very different from when we first started. Sometimes the results are a little bit mundane. Sometimes they're terrible. Some things are ghastly. I'm thinking, what? Who likes that? And I wonder where these professionals came from. But most of the time, the results are quite dramatic. You know, whether it's a home, a car, or, you know, things look different from when they were first presented. So, for example, there was a very, very popular show in the 1990s. The host of the show was the American rapper Exhibit, and it was about cars being made over. Some of you will remember the name of the show, of course, yes, Pimp My Ride. I wonder how many of you actually said that out loud. So that show was on TV, I think it was on MTV right through the 90s. I mean, you know, cars came out looking like this. And yeah, you know, it may not quite look as rusty as when it first went in, but some of those results were just terrible, dreadful for me. So there's a bunch of these makeovers that also focus not just on things like cars, they focus on homes. And the ones that focus on homes are extremely popular. So from the one that you look at and you watch it with your head, you know, as I say, where you marvel at the transformation, Homes Under the Hammer, many of us will know this, daytime, good quality daytime show, yay. You know, and this one, you watch it with your head. But there's another home makeover show that, forgive me, you don't watch it with your head, you watch it with your heart, and sometimes you need a whole box of tissues, DIY SOS, you know? And a couple of people who are in church now are nodding, going, yeah. You know, you sit there and go, oh, it's wonderful. And then there are those shows where someone goes to the dump, something's about to be thrown away, and they make something out of it, it's sold for profit, you know the one? Money for Nothing. Here's something that was made on money for nothing, which is not quite my taste, but, you know, I understand. I see what they were trying to do. Now, there are actually a number of these makeover shows where the one being made is not a home, it's not a house, it's not a car, it's not an object. It's actually the person that's being made over. The person comes into the studio, you know, the professionals have a go. They make an assessment. You know, there's often somebody for makeup, somebody for wardrobe, somebody for hair, you know, and they all come together and they do this. And of course, when the person comes, you can see that they're different. A difference has been made, you know, but here's the gig. Even with all that, when this person goes away, gets made over, comes, oh my gosh, Jacqueline, you look so different. Angelina, wow, look at you. You know, even with that, the changes are only designed to be surface changes. They're only superficial changes. They're not designed to produce long-term, you know, character change in the person. The only way a person's character can truly be changed in the long term is via God's word, via God's will, via God's way. You know, when we read Romans 12, chapter verse 2, it's, you know, what do we pick up? What do we see? What do we understand? What do we gain from this verse? Most people will immediately respond that, you know, verse 2, because verse 2 is our key verse for today. Most people will respond that verse 2 tells us to be transformed. It tells us to be changed. It tells us to have a makeover. Of course. And they'd be right to say that, because that's exactly what the verse is telling us to do. But how? How are we? How do we transform? How do we change? How do we get that makeover? How do we attain, thinking about the sermon title, how do we attain renewal of the mind? How do we do that? How do we get to a place of, I mean, what is renewal even? What is renewal? Well, if you look up meanings of the word renewal, there are definitions that talk about starting again. They talk about extending something. There are definitions that talk a little bit about changing something to a state as if it was new. And all of these definitions talk about continuing something that has ended or is ending. But there's one that Google says that I liked, which is the state or process of being made spiritually new in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's a Google definition. You know, if you type in a word in Google, Google give you their own. And I saw it there at the bottom. I was like, yeah, I really like that. You see, our being renewed, our being made spiritually new is through the Holy Spirit. It's a process, just like these definitions that I read out. It's a process of continuing or a process of starting again or a process of extending something or changing something as if it were new. You know, if we look closely at verse 2 of Romans 12, as I was saying earlier on, particularly when he's talking about being conformed to this world, we can see that there's an idea that we human beings, it's sharing the idea that human beings need to sit and we need to fit our sense of self on something. Human beings are designed to follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. We're designed to do that. We're designed to be modeled after a template. We're going to make a choice to be like someone or something. Or some being. Yeah, there's a template we're going to follow. There's a pattern that we're going to follow. Just like a garment that's being made. There's a pattern we're going to follow to help us establish who we are. And it is a choice that we make where our identity is founded and grounded. We make a choice about that. Paul is telling us in this verse, yeah, that we can either be identical to the things in the world around us, or we can be identical to something else. And the Bible teaches us in so many places that as Christians, we are supposed to be different to the world. We're supposed to be identical to the image of Christ. Romans 8:28 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." If we read 1 Peter 1:14, it tells us that as obedient children, we should not be conformed to the former lusts, which were ours in our ignorance. Similarly, 1 John 2:15 tells us that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. I'm sure, all of us or many of us, most, in fact, I'm sure all of us, I say that confidently, would know what plasticine is, Play-Doh. We all know what that is. And one thing about Play-Doh, about plasticine, is that it can be made or molded into almost anything you want. In fact, our son, Tomini, our youngest son, Tomini, is at home and he has this piece of Play-Doh and he's been walking around with it and he was rolling it in the carpet this morning, you know, and he was like, oh, there's hair in it. Well, you rolled it in the carpet, son. You know, well, not hair, there was fluff from the carpet. You rolled it in the carpet and he was trying to pull it out. And this thing can be molded into anything we want. And I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have played with it at some point. But here is the thing about Play-Doh. Here's the thing about plasticine. It is so good at what it does that if you take a coin or a key and you press the plasticine against that coin or key, it immediately takes on, displays the shape of the coin or the key. In the same way, we are like spiritual plasticine, spiritual Play-Doh. We take on whatever shape or image of what we press against. You press against the world, you take on the shape of the world. You press against Christ, you take on the shape of Christ. Unfortunately, too often, the image that we press on is the image of the world, not the image of Christ. You know, as I said, Romans 12:2 is our key verse today. And it tells us that our transformation comes from a renewal of the mind. That change. And that tells me that until our minds are changed, listen, saints of God, PHBC family listening to me, if your mind isn't changed, you're going to remain the same person. Choosing the same things you chose, doing the same things you did, the same way you did it at the same time with the same people for the same reasons. And in fact, I just want to, just for a moment, think about the person that you've always been. Think about the person that you were and you've always been. Think about how you have lived your life, how you have chosen. What makes you afraid? What makes you worry? What makes you happy or sad? Think about those factors. Think about your personality. What makes you angry? What makes you calm? What do you like and what do you dislike? Now, for a moment, I want you to think about the person you've always wanted to be. The person you wish, you dream, you pray that you will be. The disciplines that you would have. The control or not that you would have. And let me tell you, unless your mind is renewed, the person that I just told you to think about, that one that you think you want to be, dream you want to be, pray you want to be, that person will always be a dream, never a reality. Unless your mind is renewed. You see, this verse 2, then goes on to tell us that it's only after we've been transformed by the renewing of our minds that we will live God's best life for us. Yeah, you heard it. Living the best life is living God's best life. But living God's best life for you is impossible without the first two. It's a three-step process, saints. First, do not conform. Second, have your mind renewed. Third, live God's best life for you. See, to live God's best life, you must have a renewed mind, which transforms you so that you do not live according to the world. It works in both directions. And it's quite simple. It's quite basic. Oh, I want to change. I want to change. That's how you change. I want to live this best life. That's how you do it. So how do we achieve this? How do we get to the place of renewal of the mind so that we can be transformed? How do we get to a place where we're constantly, consistently being transformed so that we can live God's best life? I want to share something with you. Some of you may know the word. There's a word in psychology called metacognition. Metacognition. Metacognition is the capacity to think analytically about our own thinking. Metacognition means thinking about thinking. To employ metacognition is to be aware of our own awareness. Just by saying the words metacognition, just by the definitions I've just given, you can see that metacognition is an ongoing thing. It's a continuous thing. To effectively think about one's thinking, it cannot be a finite process. It cannot be a one-time thing. It cannot be a task you just tick. You know? And as you can probably see, metacognition, is not an act. It's a practice. And the tool of metacognition is something that can help us on our journey to the renewal of the mind. However, on the journey to the renewal of, it's a journey. Yeah. And like a lot of journeys, this journey actually has some stops. Yeah. Just like with any journey, these stops, these checkpoints, help us to recognize when we're on track. It helps us to recognize if we have missed it. On the journey to the renewal of mind, there are three stops, there are three checkpoints, there are three assessment points. I'm going to talk about them now. And those three assessment points, those three checkpoints, those three stop points are to recognize, to replace, and to rest. On the journey to renewal of the mind, recognize, replace, and rest. Some of you are taking notes. I want to encourage you again. Go on the website. The sermons are uploaded in the evening by about 5, 6 o'clock today. They'll be there. Go on YouTube and listen to this again. And if you're listening to this on replay, very well done to you. So I'm going to talk briefly about each one of them. Number one, recognize. You must recognize that your choices, your opinions, your behavior begins in your mind. And as we've heard today, the mind is where spiritual transformation happens. Is it any surprise that the enemy wants to mess with your thinking? Is it? Think about what Satan and his cohorts do. Think about anyone that you have ever known that has ever fallen away from the faith, that has ever backslidden, or that has ever willfully committed a sin. Think about every temptation that has ever befallen you or befallen someone you know. It has always involved the enemy playing mind games. Always the enemy playing mind games. Saints of God, you know, this isn't new. From the Garden of Eden to the present time, Satan has been twisting the truth, twisting people's understanding, twisting people's thinking. That's what he does. Let me tell you this. I've experienced many times of what I would say you could call mental oppression or mental attack, where my thought processes is like, whoa, what's going on here? What am I thinking? Yeah, so many times. And you know, those of you who've experienced this, you'll know sometimes those things feel so tangible. They're almost physical. If you have ever had a feeling of heaviness or self-defeating thoughts, you know what I'm talking about. Where it feels like, oh, I just don't feel as if I am. I can. I feel less than. I feel this or that or the other. And we must recognize, saints, that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. And in our own strength, nothing's going to change. So we have to pray sincerely to God. We must confess openly to one another. And we must fervently read God's word. It's God's number one place to speak to you. Many, many, many people have said this, but the first person I ever heard say it was Pastor Jasmine. Do not ever say God is not speaking to you while your Bible is closed. God ain't speaking to me while your Bible is closed. God is always speaking. It's whether or not we're listening. You see, just in the same way that we recognize who the enemy is, we must also acknowledge the one who is able to defeat him. So on the journey of renewal, we must recognize. Recognize the enemy, yes. Fight him with God's power. Fight him with God's truth. Recognize that God's power and truth will always defeat him. However, as I said, there's three stops. It is not simply sufficient for us to recognize if we're going to do anything with what we have recognized. As such, after we have recognized, the second stop, the second step, the second checkpoint is that we replace self-focused thinking with God-focused thinking. After praying for the Lord to protect your mind and recognizing you have an enemy, you then have to make a choice. You can't just say, you know, I recognize it and that's okay. It doesn't end there. It's a journey to renewal. So you've got to train your brain to concentrate on the things of God. If not, it will once again be consumed by the things of the world. You see, to focus the mind on God requires work. It requires deliberateness. It requires intentionality. If you don't take direct action, purposeful action to set your mind on Jesus Christ, then you're allowing your mind to wander where it wants to go. And I can tell you where it's going to go. It's going to go nowhere good. Yeah? Remember that if you don't know where you're going, yeah, anywhere is going to get you there. If you don't know what you want, anything that's given to you is what you deserve. So practice metacognition, where you assess what you're thinking about. Yeah. So even when you're fully confident of God's love, fully confident of God's care, you still must decide what you will think about and what you will not think about. It must be a choice. People, indeed, you may not be able to help how you feel about a situation, I'm sure. Or, you know, you can't help how you feel about a thing, or you may not be able to help how you feel about a person. But what you do is always a choice. What you do is always a choice. And choices are in the mind. If you want to improve your thinking, you need to set your mind on things above. And here are some verses that can help you as a checklist. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Romans 8, 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Philippians 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, whatever is lovely or commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Remember our motto verse, PHBC family, for 2020. We've got a new one for 2021. And by the way, today would have been our anniversary service. But hallelujah anyhow. We will still celebrate 81 years of God's goodness and faithfulness. I digress. Remember our motto verse for last year? How many of you can know it by heart? We do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. Because the things that are seen are temporal, temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. So on the journey to renewal in God, it is important not only to recognize the importance of the mind, not simply to do that, and not only to recognize how the enemy comes for us through our minds, but it is critical that we ensure to replace negativity and decay of the world with the truth and life of the Word of God. So, number one, recognize. Number two, replace. Number three, checkpoint number three. The third stop on our journey is that we must rest. On the journey of renewal in God, you must rest in the truth that God says you are accepted in Christ. And that's the end of that. You know, I was talking with a very dear sister on Friday evening, and I do believe she's listening today. She does listen regularly. And she told me about some disappointing news that she'd received at work. You know, saints, the truth of it is this. Sometimes you're going to be successful. Sometimes you're not going to be successful. And there are days when all you can do is rest in the truth that you are in God and rest in the peace that you are in God. That you are free from accusation. You're free from condemnation because you're God's child. Romans 5:1 helps us understand that through faith, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:16 and 17, if we look at that, we see that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs. And if we're heirs of God, we're fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. These are the things that God has said about us. And we must hold, our identity must be rooted in him, and that, let everything else shake. That ain't shaking. And Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." This means that we're free. We're free from accusation. We're free from condemnation. But hold on. Let me just qualify this. Let's read that carefully. It says, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To be out of condemnation means to be in Christ Jesus. You can't be out of Christ Jesus and start claiming that verse. That's delusion. It doesn't work. So your identity in Christ is the main thing that influences your earthly present and affects your eternal future. And it is this identity that is rooted, that must be rooted by faith in God and God alone. Don't doubt your identity. Don't wonder about it. Don't question it. Believe it. So rest in the truth of who God says you are. And so there we have it. Yeah, the three stops on the journey to renewal of the mind: recognize, replace, and rest. There's been quite a lot of information in today's sermon, and I'm going to encourage you again, as I said, to go to the website, go to YouTube, listen to it, so you can properly remember the points. Properly, not just remember, but implement the points that I have shared today. But there's one more thing. Earlier on, you heard me talk about this journey being a continual one, and then you heard me talk about the three steps along the journey. Well, if the journey is a continual one, How can there only be three steps? Surely once we've done the three steps, then the journey would complete, right? No. Because as you can see on the screen, there's a fourth step. And the fourth step is what makes it continue. I said we should recognize, we should replace, we should rest. The fourth step is repeat. It means do it again. So you see, the journey is continuous because the processes are continuous. The processes cannot be linear. They cannot be finite. Which means we continue to mature in Him through this process. Because saints, once the process ends, the journey ends. So you need to recognize, you need to replace, you need to rest, and then repeat it. Do it all again. So when you've reached number three, the point of rest, use the principle of metacognition to assess your assessment, to think again about your thinking, to explore your choices, your opinions, your behaviors. This stuff that's coming from your mind. At step three, you go in, you look at it all again. And then from there, I know that you will find a reason to start again. A reason again to recognize and to continue the journey of the renewal of your mind. So next time you feel a bit down, next time you feel a bit less than, next time you feel a bit ignored, or you feel like you're about to, or maybe you've already made the wrong choice, it is my prayer that you will apply these steps to your journey. That you will recognize that your choices, your opinions, your behavior begins in the mind. You replace thinking about yourself with thinking about God. And then you rest in the truth of who God says you are. And then you repeat these steps. Ultimately, God wants us to be transformed. Transformed so that we can be like Jesus. Saints, come on. Jesus didn't entertain the kind of mental distractions that we engage with. He absolutely didn't. He was totally focused on the will of the Father. And He calls us to do the same and be the same. And because I call myself a Christian, trying to be the same, it means I must strive to be like Him. What He did must be true of me. What was true of Him must be true of me. And it must be true of you. And it will be true of you in the name of Jesus. And it is true of you. May you walk in the increased fullness of the renewal of the mind. In Jesus' name.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.